Good afternoon.
Lost you. We lost Richard. I don't know.
Yes, I think you've cut out, Richard. There you go.
Cutting out, Richard.
Cutting out. Oh, wow. Can't even get through my intro and cutting out. I was.
Want me to try to do it?
Can you hear me now, Stephen? Any better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to do it. Yes.
Maybe I'll
yeah,
reconnect and see if that helps. Yeah, yeah.
Reconnect, and then I'll try to do it, and I'll pretend I'm you. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Redo the intro and impersonate me as best you can. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Official Narrative. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and you have become, you are here on Beyond the Official Narrative. Tonight, I have my very special returning guest with me, Stephen Douglas Whitener. Stephen, welcome.
Howdy, thanks. That's pretty good. You sound like Richard a little bit. What's the date today? The 17th or the 18th? I don't remember. The 17th.
Today is April.
17th. There 17th. You go.
2024. Folks, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and donate. Stephen, I'll kick it back to you.
Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, Richard was cutting in and out on us, so he was going to reconnect. Who was it? Mike Kentucky says, pull it out and spit on it and then stick it back in. The old days when you just, you played an old... plug like that, probably being on the guitar before. I mean, microphones didn't used to be wireless like this. I remember the days. It's how you doing today, sir?
Oh, I can't complain. I'm doing all right.
All right.
I'm pretty good. This is William Repillum since Richard's not here to introduce me. Oh, I think Richard's back.
There we go.
Yeah, I think he's there. I don't know how his connection is, but it sounds like a car ride. Definitely on a car ride.
Did you say the date, William?
Yes, I did. I did.
Okay, because that's the most important thing, you know. People want to know they're hearing a live broadcast, and also for the archive, it's good to get that time stamp on there. Even for a second hour segments, it's definitely an important thing, and that's something John always stressed as well. So
that was the part I almost forgot, Richard.
because
of Stephen.
Yeah, I tossed the date up there, the 17th today. Yeah.
And okay, so gentlemen, you've both been introduced, and well, I mean, we have some rustlings of our political critters, don't we? I think there was one William shared, for example.
Yeah, I was just, you know, it was just randomly. I was going on Zero Hedge and looking for an article to talk about, and I found this one from that was kind of interesting, I guess. I mean, I don't really pay attention that much to what's going on in the House and the Senate because I think it's just all a big rigged game. But let me go find it. It's Thomas Massey. I think Thomas Massey, he's the House rep from... did I say Senate? I think I got that mixed up there. So the House rep from Tennessee, and he's like the only good one. Far as I know, he's the only one who protested the war in, well, the only Republican that protested for the genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza. All the rest of these Republicans just going along with that disgusting, heinous criminal act. I mean, I'm glad not to be those people and be held accountable by God for committing genocide and participating in helping commit genocide, you know, in a person in power. helping that along. Imagine how you talk about like movie stars selling their souls. Imagine being a legislator and approving funding to go over there and do this Bolshevik genocide, you know, brutal murdering of babies and women and children, and all in the name of doing God's work or whatever they're saying that they're doing. I've actually been reading this incredible book. It's so good. It's called Who is Esau Edom? And I'm about halfway through it, and I'm going to read some excerpts out of it. But it's by a man named Charles Weissman. Weissman sounds like possibly a Jewish name, but this book is really good. It really points out that these Jews that are in power are not, you know, they're actually the argument is that they're from Esau, right? So if you know the story of Jacob and Esau, you know that story. That's the story out of the Bible in the book of Genesis, and you know the seed of Abraham, his son Isaac, had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob became Israel. Esau was the older brother, and the oldest brother is supposed to have the birthright. Well, the oldest brother, Esau, sold his birthright to Jacob, and God had told their mother, Rebekah, that this was going to happen, that the younger would serve the older, which was unheard of in those days, and but she kept it to herself. She didn't tell anybody, because, you know, she probably would have been stoned or something for back then for saying such a thing. But so Jacob became the rightful heir, you know, and this is all according to God's plan. Okay, so now these people, everything that this book spells out just makes so much sense, because you have these Edomites, these Canaanite Edomites, and Chris Switzer talks about this all the time. He makes the case for this, but I've never really kind of gone down this rabbit hole, but and I've only kind of heard about this sort of, you know, from time to time. But reading this book and the case that gets laid out, and this was actually written back in the early 90s. So I mean, I'd love to talk to Charles Weissman now. I don't know if he's still alive, but the book is called "Who Is Esau Edom." And I don't have it with me, but on the break or whenever I get a quick second, I'm going to run and grab it, and I'm going to read some stuff from it. So anyway, going back to the story of Thomas Massey and the Zero Hedge article that I sent you guys. Let me see here in the chat.
Apparently he's from Kentucky, too. I've managed
right.
to clean that off of it.
Yeah. Let me just read it. It's not very long. Okay, so, and it goes into talking about this traitor, you know, Mike Johnson or whatever, Representative Johnson, this guy, what a traitor he is. Not that they're not all traitors on some degree, but this House Speaker, I remember when this guy got put in a year ago or so, you know, and he replaced Jim Jordan, I think, what happened. But even it points out how Jim Jordan's kind of a, not on, you know, kind of, I don't know. I won't say he's a traitor, but sort of not helping here. So you're not going to be House Speaker much longer. Massey joins Marjorie Taylor Greene in calling for Johnson's ouster. Kentucky, and this is by Tyler Durden, Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey on Tuesday became the second representative to call for an end to Mike Johnson's reign as Speaker of the House, joining Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who they call MTG. He delivered that news directly to Johnson in a closed-door Republican conference meeting, telling the Louisianan, quote, "You're not going to be Speaker much longer," two representatives told Politico. Massey has criticized Johnson for backing aid packages for Ukraine and Israel, kick-the-can spending bills, and the extension of warrantless NSA spying. Okay, so there's this FISA bill I think they're trying to reinvigorate and make it so they don't need Let me just keep reading. They don't need a warrant to spy on Americans. So this guy's a scumbag. Okay. So not Thomas Massey, but Mike Johnson. Via the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, while failing to bolster border security. All right. Thomas Massey has a tweet here. It says Congress gives itself a carve out in the reauthorization of FISA 702, warrantless spying on Americans. Bill requires the FBI to notify and seek consent from Congress before violating the privacy of congressmen. This bill will persuade many members of Congress to vote yes. See, what does is it exempts Congress from being subject to this FISA 702 without a warrant. So everybody else doesn't even need a warrant. So we Americans, they can just spy on us at will. Not that they already don't do that, but under this auspices of this bill, of this FISA thing. All right, in March, Green incensed at Johnson for collaborating with the Democrats to push through a $1.2 trillion spending package over the objection of conservatives seeking spending cuts, filed a motion to vacate the chair, which would initiate a House vote by House members on whether to fire Johnson from the job of Speaker. It's unclear when Green or Massey or someone else will call for a vote to motion. Green has said that she wants to allow time for us to go through the process, take our time and find a new Speaker of the House that will stand with Republicans and our Republican majority instead of standing with the Democrats. She's also expressed wariness over risking the GOP's razor-thin House majority, which has withered in recent weeks, and multiple Republicans announced they're leaving Congress before finishing their terms. Okay, so this has got to be the end of one-party system. It's got to be the beginning of this one-party system where, you know, you have Republicans, before these Republicans just leave Congress, they're being made to vote in favor of what these Democrats do. Okay, so Thomas Massey, another tweet. This is how the Constitution dies, by a tie vote, 212 to 212. The amendment to require a warrant to spy on American goes down in flames. This is a sad day for America. The Speaker doesn't always vote in the House, but he was the tiebreaker today. He voted against warrants. So there you go. What a traitor. I mean, just that alone, right? Mike Johnson voted against needing warrants to do this, right? So, right? So, I can continue to read on. Want me to continue reading this, or... you want to speak? You guys want to chime in?
Well, they obviously
Stephen, is there something you want to add before
they spy on anybody? You know, they don't need a warrant. That we don't need no stinking warrants. Basically, they've been doing that since before 9/11, and it's all been going through Israel and 8200 and all the media. So it's all there. That's what Assange is still over there in prison for, the fact that it's all there, and somebody shared some of it with him. So like that just. So whoever, I would say that the politics, yeah, it's heating up around here too, just out and about. But I'll let you go on with that if you want to. Would it make a difference who the Speaker was? Maybe. The only thing is, when I'm thinking along those lines, you talk about who the Speaker of the House is, they're third in line for the quote-unquote presidency, puppet presidency. So that's I guess that's why it makes such a big difference. But let me let you go back to it. Yeah, sorry, sir. Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, Stephen, though, do you have any comment on the FISA in general? I mean, this is they have a link. They have a link to earlier this year. Well, actually, just days ago, really, the 12th, Democrats tanked FISA warrant requirement. Measure would have required federal agents to get a warrant before searching American communications collected as part of foreign intelligence. And, you know, this also makes me think of the Echelon, Five Eyes. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they have to, once they have the info from a foreign source, they have to somehow justify being able to use that, even though they're helping each other out. And, wow, yeah, we almost said it in unison. Well, I said Epsilon, mm-hmm. and you said Five Eyes. Simultaneous. There. So, no, do you have a brief comment on that before William continues?
Well, it's like they already have all the information. They're just... waiting to put it together with the algorithm. Everybody that they could find people, everybody every day commits multiple federal crimes, I'm sure, just by living. And before you know it, they're going to add so many more with the climate BS that it's just, you know, but I digress. I'm sorry. Let me let you go back to reading that, William. That's just how I see it.
Oh, no. Whatever information you have on the Five Eyes or Echelon, you know, that's not something I've done much research about. I've only heard about it on the periphery. So please share. Maybe give what is Five Eyes?
All of the Western.
Stephen,
Yeah, the Western, like the Westernized, like the UK, New Zealand, Australia, and some that they all share intelligence with, and Canada and us. That's the five, I think, that they all share each other's database, and they use it against they get the foreign source so that they're not doing the spying, but they use it against the domestic population. And that's been a lot more blatant in Canada and some other places like that. You know, they're clamping down there, but, you know, they're going to do that to us, too. They have it all there laid out and waiting, you know, they've started to push it forward a few times. Go ahead.
This has been for quite a while. When did the Five Eyes Echelon begin, Stephen, approximately?
That I'm not certain. I believe that it was right around 9/11 or even before. You know, I know that mm-hmm. all the stuff was definitely going through Israel before 9/11, but then the 9/11 brought out in the open a lot of things they'd already been doing. I'm not expert on that though, but yeah, that happened. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was at least a couple of decades. Sure. Well, William, I'm sorry. Please, if you want to continue the other relevant parts of the article, and Tyler Durden, I know, is just Zero Hedge staff in general. It's kind of like a pseudonym for the boss or yeah. But anyway, please.
Yeah, it's the not getting doxed name. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so, okay, here, moving on. Massey says it's only a matter of time before the House votes on Green's motion to vacate. All right, the motion is going to get called. Okay, does anybody doubt that? The motion will get called, Massey told reporters after Tuesday's meeting. Quote, and then he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy, and I told him this in private like weeks ago. Johnson's predecessor, Kevin McCarthy, was himself dethroned in October via a motion to vacate the chair. While Massey and Green are far from alone in their disappointment in Johnson, many of their disgruntled colleagues are wary of a scenario in which Johnson is ousted and the House spends days or weeks struggling to settle on a successor. Okay, this is where Jordan comes in. All right, so here's another tweet from Matsey. Friday, we have one less Republican as a majority rep. Gallagher leaves instead of finishing his term. Okay, so like I was mentioning that people are just resigning anyway. As a going-away gift, Speaker Johnson plans to force the Senate to take up Gallagher's bill to ban TikTok and give presidential power to ban websites, but still no border. Okay, so there's another thing, right? So they're doing this GOP push on ban TikTok. It's unpatriotic, or whatever they say.
Chinese ownership, not kosher. No kosher, no tiki, no shirt. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here. And, well, I guess we are perhaps a little damned in this nation, but certainly that band is, well, that was the damned, In Dulce Decorum. That was the track and good number from the mid 80s there, or good retro post-punk band there.
I was going to ask you about that, Richard. I was just going to compliment you on that song, because I really like that song. I remember it from when I was a kid, but I didn't know the name of it, so it's like you read my mind there. I've heard you play, you've played many times on there, but I was just about to ask you about it.
Nice, nice. Yeah, the Damned, I mean, they started out straight punk in the late 70s. They went into like a, because gothic music was pretty popular in UK and the US by like around 81, 82. So like, yeah, their albums around that era, like 82, 85, 86, were very tinged with like the gothic vibe on a lot of the songs and themes. And he almost had like a vampiric Bela Lugosi sort of look to him, but mixed with kind of like a street tough, you know, back then. Dave Vanney and the Damned, but great, great band there. I mean, if that goes beyond straight punk, I mean, always appreciate that, you know, rather than bands of that genre that kind of just stick to the formula without, you know, being afraid to stand out. You know, you want to be able to stand out a bit for sure. But yeah, no, TikTok, we have to remind people what at least 60% Chinese ownership who really don't care about the anti-Semitism, and that's really what it's about, right?
That's really it. Yeah. It's, they don't want any of this the people to find out about what Jews have been up to, you know? That's what it's all about. And so they're trying to co-opt the Republican Party to make it sound like it's some kind of support the new Patriot Act, Republicans. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the Patriot Act wasn't what they said it was it? So I went up and I got this book, and, well, we're not quite done with the article yet. But yeah, you made the point that I wanted to make there about TikTok. Let me just finish.
Jump back and forth. Yeah.
Let me just finish the article real quick. Okay. We saw what happened last fall when this all went down. There's no alternative. You're not going to get a majority of votes for any person, Louisiana Rep. Garrett Graves told Politico. Okay, whatever. Massey has asked Johnson to first allow the party to select a successor and then voluntarily step down. On Tuesday, Johnson was defiant. Okay. This quote from Johnson, "I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply trying to do our job." He's trying to do his job? Isn't his job to do... He hasn't been doing his job. His job is to serve as paymasters, the Jews, that are pushing through all of... He's a total Zionist, this guy. He completely supports this genocide over in Israel. He's a piece of crap, this guy. You know, he's just a piece of garbage. So he's doing his job, I guess. You know, I'm just doing my job. So he's getting indignant about that. Well, he's not really doing the job for the American people, that's for sure. Massey's announcement in the closed-door meeting ruffled feathers. Ohio Rep. Jim Jordan voiced his discomfort with the idea. See, this is what I was talking about, him getting uncomfortable or not helping. And he says this, Jim Jordan, "We don't need that. No way. We don't need that. We shouldn't go through that again. That's a bad idea." So what? Okay, so what he's essentially saying is that, hey, there's no point in doing anything for the people at all. There's no point in doing anything except for, I don't know, shuffling chairs around to try to make it look like we're doing something. That's what I gather from this. So then there's the next tweet, and then one more paragraph. You guys want to comment, or I'll just continue?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good, yeah, we're belaboring this. All right, Thomas Massey, another quote, another tweet. Quote, "I regard," he's looking at the quote from... from Mike Johnson, and he's saying, "I regard myself as a wartime speaker." So now he's saying to Mike Johnson for saying that, "Get a grip. We are not at war. You can't use that as an excuse to justify passage of warrantless spying, a bloated omnibus, or $100 billion in foreign aid." Yeah, so then he's actually posting another quote, another tweet from, he's retweeting David Sachs, who says, "Mike Johnson proclaims that he is a wartime speaker, but what war is America in? America does not need to be in any wars unless fools in Washington make it a self-fulfilling prophecy." He's got a little, you know, video of Mike Johnson's here, which I did not watch yet. All right, so finishing up, on Monday night, Johnson compounded conservatives' anger when he announced he would bring four separate measures to a vote: aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan, and another bill with miscellaneous measures, including a TikTok ban. As the New York Times explains, the goal is to cobble together legislation that would match what Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is cooking up.
They want war so bad they can taste it, man. Go, I'm sorry. Yeah, I hear the break.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be right back. Stick around, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us What has happened for them since starting Extendivite? Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best, and we'll help make it. It's called The Death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you.
As long as we have free Coca-Cola during the decline of our nation, folks, we should be giddy and content. But no, seriously, cobbling together a bunch of things, that's what they do in every spending bill, isn't it, William? But please, what, sir?
Yeah, no, real quick. Yeah, you mentioned Coca-Cola. I saw a Coca-Cola commercial, I think, on YouTube. It was so woke. It was like, it was the girl, the white girl with the purple hair, sitting with the black and Mexican and they're in college or whatever, and they're Coke, and then they look behind them, and then there's like a grandma, and she's, you know, on her computer, and she's drinking some Coke, and all these bubbles go everywhere, all these red bubbles, and then it was like this weird dream world. Yeah, it makes me think about the pharmaceutical companies saying that if you take our pharmaceutical, you're going to be in a waterfall near Hawaii, and your whole world is going to be, you know, a complete fantasy land. So it's just more criminal propaganda. So finishing the quote here. Okay, so I was mentioning, as the New York Times explains, the goal is to cobble together legislation that would match what Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is cooking up. If all four pieces pass the House, they would then be folded into a single bill for the Senate to take up, in an effort to ensure that senators could not cherry-pick pieces to approve reject, right? So this is what they do. They bundle everything together, and it's like approve or reject, and it just complicates things. I'm sure there's probably something good Mike Johnson has done, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure, actually. And somebody will point that out, right? Right now, we see these are just the horrendous crimes he's committed against the American people with his approval of some of these certain bills, okay? We're steering toward everything Chuck Schumer wants, quote, says Massey. Coupling the proposal also saps conservatives' leverage to force more spending on Border Security. Green called the plan a scam and added he's definitely not going to be speaker next Congress if we're lucky enough to have the majority. Okay, so that's the end of the article. So, oh man, I'm just gonna holding my nose as I read through this.
So, right, but is there any kind of a psyop going on here? I mean, these people who are against him being for these different bills, what do they support? Is what I want to know. I mean, it seemed it's. I mean, I have this other article here talking about, and I, not that I agree with the funding for either of those, Ukraine or Israel, but I mean, I have this other pointing out, and this was just from yesterday. Johnson unveils separate Israel-Ukraine funding bills that MTG calls a scam. And, you know, they're saying four different votes on bills which would decouple aid by country, right, is what is being done by him. So, I mean, at the very least, separating them from one another. And that could just be pro-Israel, you know. Oh, well, people who don't want to support Ukraine, well, at least, you know, everyone, of course, in Congress has to support Israel. So at least we'll separate that for Israel's sake. So it is very Jewy in that regard. But at the same time, you know, not bundling a bunch of anything together is what we need to focus on. He might be a little partisan to the Israeli factor is one thing that I would note there. But I know we had this.
Are you talking about Massey now?
No. I mean Johnson.
Okay.
Speaker Johnson on Monday. They said he unveiled a plan to hold four different votes on these different bills for, you know, these Taiwan, you know, separate from Ukraine, separate from Israel, and then, well, the Chinese threats. You know, $5 billion toward Indo-Pacific allies against Chinese threats. So that's where the TikTok money would be. But I mean, you know, he's at least trying to separate them. But I don't know. You know, the others might just want aid for everything. You know, they want aid for all these wars. Him, he's just partial to Israel, maybe, and that's why he's separating them. That's really what I'm seeing as the only thing they're really arguing about. But they all, most of them, are too compliant for sure. And we had this other one though. House managers to deliver Mayorkas impeachment articles to Senate. We had this from Epoch Times. So I don't know, Stephen, did you get a chance to keep up with that ongoing fiasco?
Someone mentioned it to me today that there was they were going to try to impeach this Mayorkas, but I don't know why. And I wanted to ask
you guys heard about the flyers.
Before we go on from this, let me ask you, can you guys think of anyone up there who is not ultimately going to be beholden to AIPAC and doing? I mean, even if who among them condemned genocide in Gaza? How many in the House and Senate did? You know, I mean, so very few. Ultimately, I think you're probably right that maybe some of them are waking up. We can't spend all this money, but we can't forget to make. If we stop spending it here, we got to make sure Israel gets theirs because, you know, they're our greatest ally and everything. So I see that being part of it. But I can't think of anyone who doesn't ultimately go along with it that's elected in this federal government at all.
Mayorkas, it's mainly about the illegals, right? That's what he's in charge of.
That's my allegedly. Understanding, yes.
Right. And
he's the head of the Department of Homeland Security.
And someone's out there claiming that all these flyers telling illegals to vote Biden down south that are going around, all these flyers, that this is all a hoax, that those are all fake. So I don't know if this was something real that they were outed on or if, you know, if they really were fake. But, you know, I mean, it's neither here nor there.
Forgeries, Rich. They were forgeries. They were forged flyers encouraging the illegals to vote Democrat. They were forged. They still said all the same things in there, but someone forged them.
But what about these ongoing conflicts, gentlemen? I mean, Zelensky's out there angry that Israel's prioritized by the West. He's saying Ukraine's running out of missiles to defend its airspace. And we just had an incident actually from Russia. But, you know, I mean, we heard going back, months ago, I mean, I was just looking over one from February, and let's see. I mean, that was mentioning like what 48 different sites on the Ukrainian border that Russia had missile sites as of February. And I was just looking over that one again earlier. But no, we just had an update actually earlier. Ukraine war latest: Russia destroyed Kiev Oblast, and this is a power plant. After Ukraine ran out of air defense missiles. So, you know, that did actually happen already. And, I mean, as far as, well, over in Israel, ex-Mossad chief says hitting Iran's nuclear facilities, quote unquote, on the table. So, you know, yeah, they don't want to rule that out. And so no one can rule that out. U.S. push for a Middle East NATO failed to emerge during Iran strikes. So they're trying to get whoever they can in the area compliant with the agenda, whatever they hope for as an agenda. And, well, let's see, what was the other one that I had? UN panel says Israel is obstructing its investigation of the October 7th attack. Wow.
Well, why would
right, yeah, why would they do that? I mean, come on, it was their 9/11 and their Pearl Harbor, and surely it was legit in every way, Stephen.
You know, I think they're just done, man. They got in their face, you know, that thing, the Iranian attack with the slow drones to call out everywhere they had defenses and paint it, and, you know, it's like, it just seems like such a show. And then, but they ignore the fact that 7 hypersonic missiles got through and killed who they wanted to take out in the Mossad at the air base. That it's just, yeah, that seems more stark to me, if that's the real fact, that they got nothing left. They keep all bluster, that paper tiger. What it boiled down to was we paid for a $1 billion fireworks show over there on top of the genocide they committed, and it's got our name attached to it. So that's the way I see it.
I should give out some of those figures, because I had a meme going around out there. Which country are they working for, you know, in Congress? $60 billion, as far as the foreign aid package passed by Senate, $60 billion to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel. Well, don't give them about $15 billion a year to begin with, or so. $9 billion to Gaza, separate from Israel. Okay. So, well, no, come on. Are you telling me we're actually helping the Palestinians with $9 billion? I have trouble believing that. Or maybe it's to the Israelis in Gaza who are genociding. Yeah, that must be it. Okay, and then $4.5 billion with the Indo-Pacific, and that combined with the you know, TikTok, very, very bad. And, of course, nothing for the U.S. border, U.S. veterans, U.S. drug problem at all. William, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I want to go straight to the heart of the matter. And, one of the things I want to get to is comparing the Jewish religion to the Christian religion. But I'm going to skip that and go to the anti-Semitism in this book. Very powerful words by Charles A. Will you indulge me this? I'd like to read this section on anti-Semitism.
Of course I will indulge you.
Or would you like? Well, I don't know if, you know, because I'm not keeping up on all these world things that are happening, because it's, for me, it's like, okay, the heart of the problem is this. And so let me kick it to Steve. Let's kick it to Stephen for a minute, if he has comments on what you brought up there. I'll come in with this.
Well, you could go ahead and read that, but if we would give the name of the book again, Esam and Esau and Edom.
Who is Weissman or something.
Yeah. Go ahead, that's fine.
Esau Edom, okay? So let me read the back of it real quick, okay? All right, it's just a few paragraphs. In the ancient time of the land of the Bible, over 3,700 years ago, Rebecca, the wife of patriarch Isaac, was informed by God that she would give birth to twins whose fate would be as diverse as their character. The birth of these twins, Esau and Jacob, and their ensuing destinies would have the most profound impact on future world events. All right. This analysis of the history of prophecy of Esau and his descendants will unveil many of the problems of this world and will bring a new perspective on wars and conflicts, media bias, Zionism, political conspiracies, anti-Semitism, economic problems, and the Jewish issue. This material will also explain why one group of people have made concerted efforts for the establishment of monopolies, corporations that only exist, there were only corporations could all, box stores could all stay open during the pandemic, COVID. Hate laws, right? Oh, we don't like your speech, so we're making hate laws. World government, communism, because no single country wants Jews in there, because they always wreck the country. Right? Communism, abortions, interracial marriages, usury, and anti-Christian policies. The ancient and pronounced struggle that prevailed between Esau and Jacob still exists today and is causing the world to be turned upside down. The question of who is Esau Edom undoubtedly evolves the most stupendous drama ever enacted in the annals of man. And that is not an understatement, is it, gentlemen? This book was written in early 1990s. Again, the drama is presented here to help us better understand God's plans for man here on earth. So this is what really it gets very interesting, okay? So that's just the back. I wanted to read the section on anti-Semitism. I'll kick it to you guys first. Have any comment?
Stephen.
I wanted the Weissman, what was the author's name again?
Charles Weissman.
Charles Weissman, okay, yeah. Thanks.
Charles A. Weissman. And if we could skip the break, I would really appreciate that, Julie. Or Mike? Mike.
If we could, please, to skip this one for... Yes.
Yeah. Okay, anti-Semitism. Okay, so this is so well written. All right, the term anti-Semitism has been used by the Jews to counter and conceal God's natural order and plan in the world. An order which has assigned to the Jew the role of aggressor, hater, destroyer, seducer, invader, and corrupter. By simply calling one, quote, anti-Semitic, the Jews attempt to put all blame for conflict on the other party. In other words, it is those Arabs or those Palestinians or the Germans that are haters and aggressors, when in fact it is the Jew. Writing in the American Hebrew, Jesse H. Holmes stated, quote, it can hardly be an accident that the antagonism directed against the Jews is to be found pretty much everywhere in the world where Jews and non-Jews are associated. And as the Jews are the common element of the situation, it would seem probable that the cause will be found in them rather than in the widely varying groups which feel this antagonism. The result of... Okay, so that was a quote. So now back to the author. The result of this name-calling tactic is to focus the attention on the effect of the conflict and not at its cause, right? So flipping the narrative over. This is directly tied to inverting everything. Take the effect and make it the cause. Jack White, the White Stripes, makes a song about this. Can't always take the effect and make it the cause. The cause is always some obnoxious trait of the Jew that precipitates conflict and action against the Jew. The Jews then say that it is anti-Semitism or unwarranted Jew hatred. Yet the hatred or action against the Jew is a natural response. Now, this is exactly what Alfred Schaeffer says. We're having an immune response to the Jew. Okay, this is what's happening all over the world. The world is waking up and having an immune response to the Jew, and the Jew is screaming, anti-Semitism! So it's like your white blood cells are coming to fight against these foreign, foreign invaders to your body, like cancer cells, and the cancer cells are saying anti-Semitism, right? Well, it's, look, you're killing everybody. Okay, so call it anti-Semitism. Hopefully, everybody will be like, thank you for the compliment of calling me an saying anti-Semitism. You know, bless you for bringing out the truth. All right, yet the hatred or action against the Jew is a natural response. Writing under the chapter title of Jew Hatred as a Natural Instinct, Samuel Roth being a Jewish name, states, anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, is so instinctive that it may quite simply be called one of the primal instincts of mankind, one of the important instincts by which the race helps to preserve itself against total destruction. I cannot emphasize the matter too strongly. Anti-Semitism is not, as Jews have tried to make the world believe, an act of prejudice. It is a deeply hidden instinct with which every man is born. He remains unconscious of it, as of all other instincts of self-preservation, until something happens to awaken it. Just as when something flies in the direction of your eyes, the eyelids close instantly and of their own accord. So swiftly and surely is the instinct of anti-Semitism awakened in man. There is not a single instance when the Jews have not fully deserved the bitter fruit of the fury of their persecutors. So, wrapping it up here. Well, there's a little. This goes on quite a bit, but I'm not going to do that. The Jew, like Esau, has revolted against God's order, and all are justified act against the Jew in this regard. Thus, it would seem as if the grievance of the anti-Semite were well-founded. The Jewish spirit is essentially a revolutionary spirit, and consciously or otherwise, the Jew is a revolutionist. Exactly what E. Michael Jones always says. Jews have been, ever since they murdered Christ, have been revolutionaries against the natural order, against God, ever since, right? And they've really set up shop here in America. So what we actually have in the world is Esau, who is the hater and aggressor, trying to conceal from the world his identity and innate attributes. If Esau's true identity and traits become publicly known, he would once again be powerless in the world. The Jews have inherited these attributes of Esau and frantically try to silence anyone who would reveal them. Shall I continue? I'd like to comment. This gets really good, by the way. I'll continue. Maybe I'll just finish out the hour with this, because there's enough here, if you want. The anti-Semitic charge, along with hate laws, is a tool the Jew uses in defense of his offensive, hostile, revolutionary, and anti-Christian nature. If it can be insinuated that one charged with anti-Semitism is the hater and aggressor, an emotional response of the masses can be directed against that individual, forcing him into either silence or loss of status in society, business, or politics. Well, geez, haven't we seen a lot of that happen since this was written in 1994, 1992, whatever. Ever since Jews invented the libel charge of anti-Semitism in the 1880s, it has been built up with Jewish money, organizations, propaganda, and lies. For example, the Holocaust, so that now the word is like snake venom, which paralyzes one's nervous system. Isn't that exactly what happens, gentlemen? Even the mention of the word Jew is shunned unless it is used in the most favorable and positive context, such as being God's chosen people. This stigma exists even with the conservative and right-wing individuals and organizations. They speak of world problems, conflicts, and wars as being caused by communists or the Zionists or by international bankers or by the CFR and trilateral organizations. Well, okay, so a quick comment. The Jews have made Zionism, you know, being anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism since then, haven't they? Even though there is clear evidence that the Jews are behind all of these movements and organizations, the Jewish connection is avoided like the bubonic plague. The end result is that those who fear being labeled anti-Semitic will never be effective in exposing the root of the problems of the land. No such fear existed in Jesus Christ, who boldly spoke against the Talmudic Pharisees face-to-face in public gatherings. He specifically pointed out their characteristics, stating that they were hypocrites, a generation of vipers, full of dead man's bones, and of all uncleanness, blind guides, a wicked and adulterous generation, full of iniquity, serpents, murderers, and of their father, the devil. Because of Christ's exposure of the traits and the ways of the Talmudic Jews, they could not easily continue in their ungodly practices. These Jews thus sought to kill him and eventually succeeded. In today's thought-controlled world, Jesus Christ would be considered a hater and an anti-Semite. This is clear, for the Jews have made it known that the New Testament is the most anti-Semitic book ever written. This book is
so good. Like Jesus, be an anti-Semite. Yeah, no, finish up the, we got
yeah, one page left. Okay, Judaism denotes the Jewish faith in its extravagant form of blind attachment to rites and traditions and the national exclusiveness. This must have been prevalent in the time of Christ because of its constant exposure of their formalism and self-assumption, and because John's gospel of the Jews is used as synonymous with opposers of Christ and his teachings. This is an excerpt from the Popular and Critical Bible Encyclopedia, 1901. A factual comment as revealed here would not be printed today out of fear of being labeled anti-Semitic. The key: if the Jew is to live in Christian society, his true nature and attributes must be concealed and censored from the masses. Thus, the Jew states that throughout history he has been the one persecuted. Yet the cause of that persecution, anti-Christian and offensive Jewish traits, is never told. And when these traits are concealed, the cause and nature of much of the problems, conflicts, conspiracies, and wars in the world are also concealed. Speaking on these problems, Henry Ford stated, "Half the confusion which men meet in their efforts to account for the world is due to their ignorance of just where is the Jew. He is always a key, but if the key is disguised as something else, how can it be used?" So that's why we see all this BS. That's why it's like pointless for us to go into. Here we now have the key as to the origin and source for so much of the conflict and friction that is now so prevalent in the world. Two of the main characters acting on stage in the world have two diametrically opposite value systems and spiritual dispositions, and the twain shall never meet. To quote the Jew Maurice Samuels, "I suspected from the first dawning of Jewish self-consciousness that between you Gentiles, white Christians, and us Jews lies an unbridgeable gulf." The Jews, being an offshoot of extraction of Esau, Edom, have a deep-seated hatred for God's people and white Israelite people and their God. Edom's role in the script calls out for this hatred. They acted out in the world. They cannot and will not deviate from their role.
Nor will we in calling out their ways. We'll be back for hour two.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.